Voice Act. Sounds pretty good. What's inside of it? There's some things you may not want, among which the...
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, the opinions of you out there in the listening audience, because this is Open Line Wednesday. And if you have something you'd like to talk about, this is the night. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Don't be bashful. Give us a call if you'd like to. But right now, I thought maybe we'd talk about the concept of a central bank. And the whole idea of a central bank is that this gives a group of bankers the opportunity to prevent booms and busts and actually have a smooth economy. And, of course, if the economy begins to slow down, why, you actually lower the interest rates so more money is available and perhaps even temporarily increase the money supply just to get the market going again. And then, of course, if the market's going too rapidly and the prices are rising too rapidly, why then, of course, you increase loans and you decrease the availability of money. And that way we don't go from this boom to bust cycle. Why, of course, everything runs and really runs very smoothly. And, of course, it's a wonderful, wonderful theoretical idea. The only problem with it is you have to give the power to certain men to manipulate the economy, supposedly for the good of us common folks. Now, of course, the economy would manipulate itself if allowed to, but we've always had unscrupulous bankers who would run up the prices. You know, they'd make money readily available and get everybody borrowing and get them in debt, and then they'd collapse the economy and then just foreclose on people's homes and farms and corporations. And that was the reason that, of course, we did away with the first bank in the United States back in 1811. And of course, the Europeans, who were very interested in controlling America, then plunged us into the War of 1812. And by 1816, why, the people of America were ready to go back into the second bank in the United States. And then in 1832, Andrew Jackson said, you know, we can't trust people, especially the Europeans who owned a third of our central bank. We can't trust them to really be concerned about what's good for the common people. They, being human beings, are going to be concerned about what's good for them. And so we've got to do away with the central bank. And, well, of course, the powers that be, they control the media pretty well at that time. That already bought and purchased many of the members of Congress, many of the people in Andrew Jackson's cabinet, including his vice president, supported the central bank. After all, they gave them lots of money. But of course, Andrew Jackson was a unique individual. And he said, you got two choices, ladies and gentlemen. It's either a central bank and no Andrew Jackson, or Andrew Jackson and no central bank. And in the election of 1832, why, the people rallied behind Andrew Jackson, and of course, he then pulled all the government's money out of the central bank, and of course, the central bankers then, to punish the American people, contracted the economy, as they always do, withdrew money, and they threw America into a depression. But, you know, the people at that time were smart enough to see what was going on. And, of course, totally discredited the concept of a central bank. And we didn't have one again then until 1913, when the when the central bankers were smart enough to actually convince the American people that the Federal Reserve wasn't a central bank controlled by bankers. No, it was controlled by the federal government for the good of the people. And it was all a lie. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just talking about these concepts of the central bank. Of course, the central bankers expanded the money supply after the First World War. They needed, of course, to have the central bank so we could take America into the First World War. Because by that time, there were very powerful people who wanted to create a one-world government. And the whole idea was that if we had this terrible, terrible war, this First World War, we would sell it to the American people under the guise of this is the war to make the world safe for democracy. This is the war to end all wars. Who could be against ending wars? And look at those brutal Huns. Oh, Germans are terrible people, and they're cutting off the breasts of Belgian women and raping the Belgian women. And oh, those terrible Huns, those terrible Germans. And they're cutting off the hands of little helpless little Belgian boys. And sort of reminded me, of course, of the propaganda they had about the Taliban. You know, how they discriminated against women and they cut off hands and feet. And the Taliban were terrible, and that's why we had to go to war with them back in 2001. Or was that really the reason? Because after all, our friends in Saudi Arabia did exactly the same thing. But nobody ever talked about those things. Well, basically, of course, they got us into World War I, but pivotal to that was the central bank. And we have all sorts of callers calling in, so I guess we're going to have to do this discussion some other time. But let me tell you that right now we have a central bank that's run by people who do not have the best interests of the American people. In fact, this is the real problem. What most people find difficult to believe is that there really are people in the United States today who want to destroy our country. And, of course, they're using, for instance, why do you think they're sending all of our manufacturing overseas? I mean, destroying the manufacturing base of this country? Because they want to impoverish our people. Why do you think, of course, that they certainly are giving the corporations a tax-free status if they move over to communist China? Why do you think they're pushing the scam of global warming so that they can force us to decrease the use of power, whether it be cars, whether it be electricity, or whether it be anything, of course, that allows us to have an industrialized society? Because there really are people at the highest echelons of our government, certainly energized by dark and sinister spiritual forces, who would destroy this country because their loyalty is not to America but to an internationalist dream. A one-world government, a one-world economic system, a one-world currency, a one-world religion, and, of course, the coming new world leader. Well, we're going to take John, who's calling from Texas here, right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And right now we have John on the line from Texas. Hi, John. What part of Texas are you from?
I'm from Beaumont.
Okay, very good. Well, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment about something I got in the mail yesterday from the government.
All right, fine.
Actually, it's, it says U.S. Department of Commerce, Economics and Statistics Administration. Then it says U.S. Census Bureau. Anyway, it's all in fine print. And, you know, it's a questionnaire, and it says the American Community Survey. And it kind of seemed like to me that they're kind of coming right out, you know, with this, you know, North American Union, or really it even sounds more like GATT, you know.
Well, what sort of questions are they asking?
I really haven't went through it. This thing probably has about 20 or 30 pages to it.
Well, you know, the thing is that basically I got a call from the CDC today. They're having a new survey of doctors, and they put out an awful lot of money. They just want to do a lot of paperwork, spend a lot of money, gather statistics and gather statistics and gather statistics, but not really do much of anything with it. That's what bureaucrats do.
Well, I just thought it was interesting how they had the American Community Survey
right.
instead of the United States, you know, census. You know, they're calling it the American Community Survey.
All right, fine. Are you sure it's an official government publication?
Yeah, yeah. I even have the number of the publication. It's right up above the U.S. Department of Commerce.
Okay, fine. Well, you're going to have to decide what you want to do with it. Sometimes, you know, they're just collecting material or information. Sometimes they want to know how big your house is, and with the idea that down the line, when there's a shortage of homes, they'll move a few other families in with you. Who knows what they're up to? But I can tell you that we are supposed to have a census every 10 years for one specific purpose, and that is to count the number of people so then they can determine the number of representatives we'll have from any given area.
Yeah, this is 28 pages long.
Right, and I think that they just want to get a lot of information on you.
Yeah, well, yeah, they said they just selected my address at random. But
right, they may very well have. They selected my address, and I even got a call from the CDC today wondering if I'd filled out the forms. When I told them I wasn't practicing, they said, oh, well, that's oh, it's all right. We're not interested then.
Yeah, well, I just thought the way they put this thing, it's like a headline, you know, the American Community Survey, and, you know, I guess the Council on Foreign Affairs did the North American Community, you know, talking about this North American Union, and
well, I'll tell you what, right now, right there, I think they're going to have a little trouble getting NAFTA through. But what you're seeing really is total chaos developing down there in Mexico. The drug lords are really taking over control of the government. They're attacking the military. They're attacking the police. And Mexico is moving into chaos. And, of course, an awful lot of Mexicans are going to flee north, not for jobs, but just to get away from the increasing chaos there. And this is another reason why we need to guard our borders, because we don't need a lot of people coming up here to get away from their chaos, because we don't want to import their chaos into the United States, and we don't want to get rid of their drug gangs and their other criminal gangs that are coming up here.
Well, today they said they were going to give Mexico, it was either $280 or $480 million, I think it was.
No, well, it's just money, you know. They just simply print it, but in the process of doing that, John, they're destroying the value of our currency, and they're destroying the heritage of our children. You have to have a stable currency. Why, just today they passed, you know, there in Congress this bailout bill, that was $850 billion, you know, $100 billion here, $100 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. Or maybe you're talking about paper money that will soon lose all of its value. And I believe they're intentionally trying to destroy the value of our currency, because the people are running the Fed and the Treasury, and, of course, they all tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Trilateral Commission. They really want to destroy the stability of this nation and plunge us into the world government. That's what it's all about. That's why they created this whole crisis that we're facing today. And anybody who doubts that really needs to read Henry Kissinger's article. The 12th of January, that's the 12th of January, just about 2 weeks ago, in the International Herald Tribune, fascinating, as he tells us that this crisis that's coming is an opportunity. An opportunity to bring about this new international order. It is one of the most devastating articles, and so revealing, of course, of what this is really all about.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, the government was just coming right out in the open with this American Community stuff.
And right.
And they're calling it a survey instead of a census for the United States of America.
You know? Right, and you are required to cooperate with the census. I don't know whether you're required to cooperate with this, because this is not the census.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either. You're going to have to check
out. They're saying that you're supposed to, but yeah, I don't think I'm going to worry about it.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much. Anything else, John?
No, that's it.
Okay, God bless. And let's go to Dee, who's calling in from Post Falls, Idaho. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's Open Line Wednesday. Love to hear what you're thinking about, what you think about what's happening economically. I certainly were told it on Monday of this week. On that one day, 72 1,000 jobs were lost. Corporations, of course, announced that. And, of course, there were 533,000 people lost their jobs in November, 560,000 in December. You have to understand that they're doing all of this. They're playing games with our mind. They're trying to frighten us, get us upset, and to discourage you from buying so that they really want to plunge our nation, in fact, the whole world, into financial chaos. And it's amazing how they can manipulate our emotions and control our reality. Dee, did you have a question or comment?
Oh, hi, Dr. Stan. I had a comment. You know, as a follower of Jesus, I think it's important to pick our battles in defense of sanctified liberty. And in the last few weeks and months, years, we've witnessed some marriages made in hell. One of them that comes to mind is Daimler Chrysler, and then, of course, there's Bank America Countrywide. But the one that I feel like a voice in the wilderness, because I don't see anybody raising any issues about the upcoming promised marriage between medicine and IT, so-called information technology. And if I can't convince people that this is an utterly hideous idea, I'd like to at least give out some food for thought.
Well, you go right ahead.
Okay. Number one.
Once again, let me put out our number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295 if you're out there and you have something you'd like to talk about, because we are living in the most momentous times that certainly I've ever seen, and I've been around for a good while. So go ahead, Dee. You're talking about this whole idea of electronic medicine. Without your consent, all of your medical records, every private detail of everything that's ever happened, maybe you've had a sexually transmitted disease, now anybody will have access to that information, and all privacy is gone, and you have no choice. Your medicines, your records will be by federal edict, of course, available to anybody who wants to see anything about you or your past.
Dr. Stan, you're telling us the truth, but see, that's not what we're sold on. We're sold on the advantages. Why, my goodness, there's going to be all these cost savings and everything. Now, I've had relatives in the medical field, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you practice medicine, and by reputation, you were good at it. And it's not something that's inventory-based or industrialized. In those processes, things where you have inventories, those benefit from computers a lot. But medicine is hands-on, right? At its best, it's hands-on, it's personal, it's one-on-one. And you're not, number one, you're not going to get economies of scale. You're not going to get increased efficiency. So the promised savings simply are not there. And then number two, as you point out, the hidden costs of medical freedoms and privacy are unacceptably high.
All right. Well, of course, the thing is that when you go to see the doctor, he's going to take a history from you. And he wants to sit down and talk to you. And when he's talking to you, he's watching you. And then he's going to examine you. Well, when, of course, you have your electronic file, he doesn't have to take a history. Why, it's already there for him. It's already done. In fact, some other doctor has done it for him. But what happens if the other doctor wasn't looking for the right things? I mean, this doctor is still going to have to take a history, and he's going to have to duplicate the electronic file. He's still going to have to do an examination. If we're going to have any sort of personalized type of medicine, I think it's a terrible idea. Certainly, it would be nice if you were, you know, went into the emergency room comatose, if they could get your records. But chances are you've been in that community before, and there are records there at that hospital or an adjacent hospital, or there's somebody there, you know, a doctor who can get the information. No, what they really want is to collect dossiers on every American citizen. That's what this is all about. This is what the RFID tagging is all about. But they can't tell the American people. They've got to convince us we're from the government and we're here to help you. And I will tell you that the nurses and the doctors spend far more time doing paperwork now than they ever did before, and far more time on paperwork and far less time with the patients, which is why the quality of medicine is falling. And there's no problem facing medicine today that a new government program won't make worse.
Or so they say. Yes, you make an excellent point that that's all unproductive activity. All that record keeping and paperwork is unproductive. And I had another thought that in the court of law, medicine is also, it's not only a science, but it's also an art. And in the pursuit of truth, you don't want to bias witnesses, and attorneys, they will individually depose people. So there is almost an advantage in having a separate interview with different doctors, because one doctor may overlook something, and he can be biased by a prior doctor. So there's actually an advantage of having a stand, and I wouldn't have no problem if you want to have a your own standalone dongle or hard drive or something that just belongs, that is part of, that belongs to you and that is not massively networked. But I see nothing but evil that can come from massively networking medical records.
I think there is too. I mean, maybe you had an indiscretion when you were young and you got a chlamydia infection or a venereal infection. Would you want everybody to know about that? That certainly if you ever ran for political office, or maybe you'd just simply be excluded from a job. Maybe you were homosexual, and of course this could be used against you, because it will be one time in the future. Homosexuals aren't smart enough to realize that they're, by destroying the freedom of this country, they eventually will lose theirs. Hold on just a moment. Well, do you have anything else you want to say, Dee, before we let you go?
I'll just be brief. Medical tourism, of course, the well-to-do always get good care because they go overseas, but the purpose of the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Ed has pulled down a copy of Henry Kissinger's article in the International Herald Tribune on the 12th of January. So this is what, about just about 2.5 weeks ago. And to me, this was one of the most revealing articles I've ever read. And Ed was just saying that you know, what Kissinger is saying is that this idea that the sovereign nation is outmoded, we're going to have to move towards this new international order. In that article, he opens by saying that this whole collapse, financial collapse of the world, it offers an opportunity. It offers an opportunity. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what that article says? Because I've told them, but I'd like to hear your interpretation of it. I thought it was the most flagrant, expose of what the purpose of our invisible government. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, but you can call them whatever you want to. The invisible government, our unelected rulers, the establishment, the power elite. There is a small group of people who controls our nation. Go ahead.
The thing that struck me was the slickness, the slick words, and Satan is the father of lies. And the way that he words things, sometimes you can hardly understand what he says. For instance, towards the end, he says, "We have learned to operate within the attainable and be prepared to pursue ultimate ends by the accumulation of nuance." And I read that and I said, what in the world he's saying? But what he's really saying, as I prayed about it and thought about it, is that, in other words, they need to be, namely the Brotherhood of Darkness, aware that they need to do this in steps so as not to wake people up about what they're really, really doing. And so they need to do it in a subtle way. Well, that's exactly what they've done. But his whole letter is written in such slick and obtuse language, a lot of people could read it and not be sure what he said. But he's apparently, when you are already aware of the skullduggery and the design to bring about a one-world government and to destroy Christianity, then you can read between the lines and see what he's just saying exactly that. And one of my questions to you, Dr. Stan, is why would they, because Henry Kissinger's definitely on the inside, he certainly knows what's going on, why would they allow him to make a statement that's so revealing?
Because if you don't know what this is all about, you can read it and you'll never be able to fathom what he's talking about. It's like reading Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. You can read that through, and he has all this hyperbole and all this long phraseology and all these big fancy words. And of course, they are to really conceal the true purpose. This is really written for the elite, not for the average individual. And certainly, it reminds me very much of the story that is told by Plutarch in a book called The Life of Alexander by Plutarch. It was written in the first century, first or second century. And there, of course, Aristotle was Alexander's his teacher. And Aristotle had written a book about the mystery religions. And of course, this tells you that there is a power out there you can tap into. It's the Luciferian power. But certainly, he had taught this to Alexander, and this is how Alexander was able to, with an army of about 35,000 Macedonians, ready to conquer the known world, which, by certainly military standards, was an impossible task. But rely upon the supernatural power, they were able to accomplish really unbelievable deeds. Well, anyway, of course, Alexander was furious with Aristotle for writing a book about the mystery religions. And so he writes to Alexander and he says, you never should have gone ahead and written that book, because I have the ability to control men, because of what I know, because of my knowledge. And now, of course, I'm not going to be able to control them because they're going to understand what this is all about. And Aristotle writes back and says, just what I said. The average individual could never understand what I've written. You only can understand the mysteries if somebody explains them to you, and then it's very, very obvious. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you can understand Henry Kissinger's esoteric writing because, of course, you understand where they're really going. You can understand Albert Pike if you understand that he's describing the Gnostic religion, the worship of Lucifer. But for the average person reading Henry Kissinger, he's got to read it, he's got to shrug his shoulders and say, what in heaven's name is he talking about? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for the explanation.
You're welcome.
That was very clear.
Okay, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when we welcome your calls. So give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'd love to hear from you. And we see a few of the lights coming on. Basically, it's so vitally important that people understand that there really are people out there who have a different agenda. Of course, Rush Limbaugh ridicules anybody who talks about, you know, a conspiracy, talks about the Trilateral Commission, talks about the Council on Foreign Relations, or David Rockefeller. But of course, Rush Limbaugh is one of the finest conservatives that money could buy. And only when you understand that can you really understand why he is on 600 stations. And of course, and why he's getting something like, I don't know, $40 or $50 million a year. And as I always say, Rush Limbaugh's certainly one of the finest conservatives that money could buy. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah. Hi, Stan. Yeah, I listened to Limbaugh again today, so I'm not doing too good. I claw the walls every time.
Well, you want to hear? He's entertaining. He's intelligent, but he simply, and he says all of these things. If you want to play the conservative liberal game, the conservatives are good, the liberals are bad, the Republicans are good, the Democrats are bad, the right's good, the left's bad, and of course it's the game. They're trying to get us into playing this game, so we will not see who the real enemy is, and we're going to have to join together with a lot of liberals. We may disagree on some things, but we all want freedom, and I think that when the vast majority of the American people understand how they've been playing games with our minds, and when the American people understand that these people are intent upon destroying this country, then, of course, at that point, hopefully they're going to come together and rise up and demand these people be arrested and tried for treason, because that's what they are, they're subversives.
Well, they're still going after Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney. We'll see how long that goes on, probably for the rest of our lives. But back to Limbaugh, though, one of the things that's so weird or hard for me, I hear the lies woven all through his whole program, and like this bailout, for example, this new legislation they just voted on today, for example, he gives you a lot of truth about what's really wrong and why we shouldn't be doing this, and Obama this and Obama that, but he points to the left, like you were just saying a few minutes ago. Instead of pointing the finger and the problem, pointing at the Federal Reserve and things like that and CFR, trilaterals, you never hear those words.
Hold that. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is right now Mike, calling from Santa Cruz, and we're talking about this myth of the two-party system, this whole idea that it's the liberals against the conservatives, the right against the left, the Republicans against the Democrats, and Obama is bad because he's a leftist. No, Obama is bad because he is a part and parcel of this ruling elite, and they control him, they put him in office, and he's playing his part very well, and most conservatives are going to think he's bad because, I mean, he has a lot of Marxist friends, and certainly he espouses many Marxist philosophies, but those are the philosophies of the wealthy and powerful elite in what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I would simply point out that Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity on one side, and you've got your liberals on the other side, and they batter back and forth, and we've rallied behind one and we've rallied behind the other, and I think Rush Limbaugh is one of the finest commentators that money could buy. He does a great job of bringing out about 90% of the truth. It's that 10% that he actively suppresses that, of course, is creating the terrible problems in our nation will ultimately lead to its destruction and demise. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, Mike, you go right ahead there.
Yeah, as I like to often point out, he'll have to remember his talent is only on loan from God. Your caller previously was talking about Henry Kissinger. I'd like to mention a video on Google. A Google video, if you type in The Trials of Henry Kissinger, there's an hour and 19-minute documentary on the man, the criminal, the insane con artist that has brought so much havoc on our country for half a century now. Who knows how long he's going to go on. He seems to be a man of eternal youth. But, again, that's the Trials of Henry Kissinger on Google Video. I just checked. It's still there for some reason. And it's really educational, and it'll give you a whole lot more insight. Whenever you hear his name come up in the media, or as you read the article that your caller was talking about from the International Herald Tribune, read in light of what you see there. But you started out...
Could I make one comment at all about Henry Kissinger before you get away from there? What everybody has missed is Henry Kissinger's involved in the occult. How do I know? Well, we have an article written many years ago, probably a decade and a half ago. It was written in West Magazine. It was written by a fellow who had gone to the La Baca Grande, the occult center in Colorado. And there, of course, was had an opportunity to meet Marie Strong and see all the witches and shamans and the medicine men and, of course, the occultists from all over the world. But one of the things he said that was so interesting to me was that Henry Kissinger and Robert McNamara, of course, both in the Trilateral Commission, both, of course, are the architects of the tragedy of Vietnam, where we sent our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never to be allowed to win. And both of them were frequent visitors at La Baca Grande, which is an occult center. So what people do not understand is that, of course, that the common denominator behind everything, and specifically behind the Trilateral Commission and most of the people there, is these occult beliefs and occult goals. So go right ahead, Mike.
I wanted to move on to what you opened the program with, which I think is of such great importance, the Federal Reserve. And I'd like to plug the Creature from Jekyll Island book by Ed Griffin that you sell. And I hope everybody in the world will buy a copy from you.
We don't have enough copies for everybody in the world, but we do have a few in stock, so go right ahead.
You'll find them somewhere.
All right, fine.
On page 305, he writes about, he goes through a series of reasons to get rid of the Federal Reserve. On page 305 is the fifth reason. He talks about how there are a few historians who would challenge the fact that the funding of World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War was accomplished by what he calls the Mandrake mechanism through the Federal Reserve System. That's what he that's the term he uses for the magical creation of money out of nothing. He goes on to say, an overview of all wars since the establishment of the Bank of England in 1694, which was a fiat system, suggests that most of them would have been greatly reduced in severity or perhaps not even fought at all without fiat money.
I think he's absolutely right. If it had not been for fiat money, why, we never could have waged the First World War. America never would have gone into it. They couldn't have prolonged it and killed as many people without the artificial money system. But even still, they pretty well bankrupted Great Britain. Certainly, we couldn't have financed the Second World War, the Vietnam War, or the Korean War. And because those are all financed with debt, just as the current wars. If we were really paying for these wars, the American people would rise up in their righteous indignation if they were taxing us to pay for the wars. But with the fiat money system, they just simply do it on borrowed money, and then they hope to destroy the value of the money through inflation. Anything else, Mike? We've got a full board.
Just the point that we have nasty people that rise to the top or the bottom in these governments, they get on some nasty agendas, which they would never be able to carry out without a lot of money.
All right, you're right.
So if someone is around to either loan them real money or loan them fake money, it doesn't make any difference to them. They'll take it, and they'll go to war, and they'll fight as long and hard and bloody as they can, as long as the money holds out.
Well, you know, many years ago, I interviewed a man named Norman Dodd, really one of the great patriots of the past. We are indebted to him for our understanding of the great tax-exempt foundations. But I said to him, Norman, how is it that the foundations are able to control our educational system? And he said, through the fractional reserve system. Well, this was 1980, and I'll have to admit, I didn't understand the fractional reserve system. But the fractional reserve allows them, of course, to create money out of nothing, and then, of course, to get people foolish enough to accept it. Hey, we're going to have to run. We got a full board.
Just that the Federal Reserve got this power by an act of Congress. In other words, it's legal.
They passed it in the middle of the night when very, very few legislators were there. If it were put up to a vote today, well, probably the people there would be bought off. You realize that they got through the TARP legislation by putting up $150 billion, and that switched the vote of 55 legislators. I figure that's a little over $2.5 billion for legislators they bought. Talk about bribery. I mean, this guy over there, the governor of Illinois, is a piker. Hey, we got to run,
okay,
Mike.
Sam.
God bless. Let's go to Kathy calling from Oregon, and then, of course, we got Jeannie on line three. But let's go to Kathy. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But, ladies and gentlemen, they added $150 billion of pork under the $700 billion TARP legislation to get it passed. They could only get 55 legislators to switch their vote. It's a little over $2.5 billion a legislator. That's a bribe, straightforward bribe. Where is the outcry? I mean, we're going after the governor of Illinois, he was going to take $1.5 million for the Senate seat. At least this is what we're told. That is pikers next to the congressman who sold their votes for $2.5 billion. Well, maybe, of course, if you just get $1 million, you're a criminal. If you get $2.5 billion, they call it statesmanship. Kathy, do you have a quick question?
Yeah, I listened in yesterday when you were interviewing Lynn Marzulli, and I wanted to call him, but I couldn't get the number right. And I wanted to talk about this William Cooper and the book Behold the Pale Horse.
Right.
Well, he, was investigating the Area 51 and all of that, and then somehow along the line, he felt that he had been given false information. And so at one point, he has a four-hour video on there, and he's got pictures of the moon, and you can see pyramids, and you can see jeeps and, square buildings, and he was showing a Christian cross and all. And I just wasn't sure. Is that something that he was shown that is misleading, or what?
I think there's a lot of disinformation out there, a lot that is trying to make you think that the UFOs and these other supernatural manifestations are coming from aliens from outer space.
Yeah.
But that's really not true. There is another spiritual dimension. The last thing that they want the American people is to understand that there really is a Luciferian worldwide movement that taps into the other dimension, that comes from the other dimension. And there is a spiritual dimension, and that's where these UFOs come from. At least most of them do. I don't really believe that these are examples of American technology, but I will tell you that the American military has been tapping into the supernatural, and I personally, you've probably heard me tell this story, but I personally have held in my hand a spoon that was bent by a major general in the American military who was part of this unit that was actually tapping into the supernatural. He was able to take that spoon. I mean, I couldn't even budge the metal, and he was actually to take that and wind it into two circles. And, of course, Joyce Riley watched him do it. She gave me the spoon. I couldn't budge it. So there is this power you can tap into, and we don't want to do that.
No. Well, was Lynn Marzulli talking about the guy that he saw this, being in Area 51, and then he told his son, and then when his son went to talk about it, the dad said, don't say a word about it. We never saw it.
That was Roswell.
Roswell.
Yeah.
So what's true and what's not? I
think it's probably true. I think that there was something went out at Roswell. Right. I think it was one of these supernatural, it had not dematerialized.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Kathy?
Well, just one other quick thing. I love the DVDs on China with Reverend Millen.
Right.
How did he ever get out of China?
I think that they sent him home. I mean, but he was just such a psychological mess. For instance, people who have not heard that four tape set on
China.
So they actually let him go.
On China.
Right.
That's unbelievable. That has happened in my lifetime, and, you know, we didn't even know.
Well, you probably never heard of the Great Hunger in China, where they actually starved to death over 40 million people.
Right.
And that was between 58 and 62.
That was I met a girl that lived there that escaped, and she told us. And then I also read a book, just grabbed it on my way out of the bookstore. It's called Life and Death in Shanghai.
Right. It's just a horrible... The things that are going on are just so unbelievable. But we've got to get the other people to do it.
Right.
The story of Operation Keel Hall and the 6 million Russians we've rounded up at the end of the Second World War to send them back to be slaughtered in Russia. But, of course, it's a whole idea to give people the idea there's no escape from communism. We're going to have to run because we've got Jeannie waiting online for God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. We've got Jeannie there. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. It's cold down here near the ocean.
Okay, fine. Well, you can come up here if you'd like.
It's global warming.
Great.
Anyway, I'm glad you turned me on to this International Herald Tribune article by Henry Kissinger.
Isn't that magnificent?
Yeah, January 12, 2009, this year. And, of course, being a researcher, I kind of really pondered over it. And the one word came up all the time, this common action, common concern, common fear, common strategy, common policies, common purpose, and common destiny.
And that's a very, very good point.
And we're just going to be one common, happy family.
Except for the ruling elite, which include Henry Kissinger and, of course, Brzezinski and David Rockefeller and the others. But basically what they want is a feudal world of which they will control. And that is why this gives them such a wonderful opportunity, because they set out to destroy the economy of the whole world. And we're just beginning to get into this. Things are going to get a lot worse, believe me. But let's hope that we can utilize this to awaken the American people, and that one of these days they're going to rise up in their righteous indignation and demand these people be tried for subversion and treason.
And as you mentioned, Kissinger does state in this article, if we don't get the New World Order, there's going to be chaos.
Chaos and the world is going to fragment. You better go along with us. It was almost threatening, wasn't it?
And then he talks about, it's an interesting statement, the economic world has been globalized.
Right.
So the economy is worldwide now. It's globalized.
Right. And that's exactly what they've done. That is why they've sent our manufacturing overseas. That is why they want to lower our living standards here and redistribute our wealth to other nations. Why are we sending money to all these other nations when we're having to borrow money every single day simply to pay our bills? And what happens when the other countries of the world will no longer lend us money? And our monetary system collapses, and that's what they're going to do, and they're going to do it intentionally.
And there's one sentence he talks about, we need to modify the righteousness that has characterized too many American attitudes. So get with it, Americans. We've got to change your attitude on what's morally right.
Good point.
That's a very, very important sentence.
I think that is one of the most revealing articles. It's written in esoteric terms. You tend to get lost. But you got to read it through half a dozen times and underline it, as Jeannie obviously has, to begin to get the overall tone of it.
There was one sentence, the extraordinary impact of the president-elect on the imagination of humanity. Imagination, that's the interesting word.
It's like the term, the audacity of hope. The audacity of hope, that's one of, Obama's
right.
favorite terms. The audacity of hope, I think our hope is, of course, doing away with the people who put Obama in power.
And also, I brought to mind Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream.
Right.
One other thing, he talks about how bad climate change is, so we know that's full of baloney.
Right. But you realize, of course, global cooling is caused by global warming. Anything else, Jeannie, before we let you go?
No, I think that's going to end it for this evening.
God bless. Thanks.
Good laugh.
Good to talk to you. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Florence, Oregon. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mark. How are you doing up there?
I'm doing okay, Dr. Stan. Great to speak with you again. It hasn't quite been 24 hours, but it's great.
Well, it's good to have you with us again.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, actually, I was leading the reason I called last night, and then I got caught up in your conversation, which is always very easy to do. It's so pertinent and full of importance. If you remember, a medical area that I wanted to relate to you very quickly. As far as medical news goes. And I was wondering if you had heard of the book, The Cure is in the Cupboard, by Dr. Cass Ingram.
No, I probably haven't. I know who Cass Ingram is, but I haven't read his book.
Okay. The Cure in the Cupboard covers roughly 85 or so cures that oregano oil does facilitate and do very well all on its own.
Is this oregano you're speaking of?
Yes, I am.
All right, fine.
Essential oil of oregano.
Right. In fact, we actually carry that. We actually have something called Alibiotic that has the oil of oregano in it. And every time I'm starting to come down with the flu or influenza, I take that and vitamin D, and I just keep right on going, just like the Ever Ready Buddy.
It'll heal you up very quickly. I've had experience, and I've recommended it to many people that have had unbelievable results with various ailments, all the way from tooth impaction, as far as not having to have a root canal done. It just backs an abscess right off, and it just goes way on from there. There are just quite a number of things that it addresses very quickly and very thoroughly.
Go right ahead, Mark.
And Dr. Stan, I was listening to Steve Quayle's show when it was still on the air, and it's probably been a little over a month ago. And I don't know.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
And our listeners out across America, the Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to support the 60 or more outlets we have every single week. A lot of them are on the weekend programs, only half an hour, but a lot of them are every day. And, of course, the number of outlets is growing, but we do need your help and support. And if you're in a position to help them, we know that a lot of people are really hurting out there now. And I can tell you a lot are going to be, more are going to be hurting before this is over. Sydney, you've got to start thinking about laying in your supply of long-term food storage and getting yourself a Berkey water filter. And of course, we're going to be advertising seeds in a can. You'll be hearing those ads before long. Just have a supply of Sydney heirloom seeds that you can keep in your refrigerator in a can. They're hermetically sealed, and they'll last for a good long time. And then you need to lay in a supply of just of health products, such as oil of oregano, alibiotic is what we carry with oregano in it. But have these things on hand because we don't know what's going to happen to the medical system. We know what's happened in other countries that have done what we've done, and the whole system's broken down. And then, of course, understand behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces, and make sure you have a good personal relationship with our Lord. Certainly, the DVD series we carry with Pastor Billy Crone, The Final Countdown, there are two, five DVD sets there, part one, part two, Creation, part one, part two, each with five DVDs, and because all of these have a salvation message at the end of the program. And Pastor Crone's doing a great job, a regular guest on our Radio Liberty here, and we hope that you enjoy him. Then, of course, we've got a great new DVD. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix. And we've been talking about it for a long time, but it just arrived here, and we got a good supply in. And, of course, this gets into the symbology on the back of the dollar bill, but better than anything I've ever seen before. And that's the symbology on the back of the dollar bill. And, of course, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes, and it gets into Manly Hall, and it gets into Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his relationship with Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist. And, of course, it will help to answer so many of the questions that you have about how we got into the mess we are. Because, remember, it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a 32nd-degree Mason, and Harry Truman, who was a 33rd-degree Mason, who appointed Masons to the Supreme Court to destroy the Christian foundation of our nation. And, of course, it was those Masonic Supreme Court justices who took God and prayer out of our schools and destroyed the moral foundation of what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And nobody is going to tell you that. You can check it out on the Internet. Just type in Supreme Court justices and masonry, and of course you'll come up. And you can just check it out, as I have. And they controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971, and majorities of 5-4 to majorities of 8-1. Only one at one time was a non-Mason. They controlled our Supreme Court, and they used as their power to destroy the Christian foundation of our nation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a real problem today, and our job is to try to get people to understand what's going on. We hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on the forbidden secret. Chris Pinto's wonderful DVDs, and of course he did The Eye of the Phoenix, but his DVDs on the secret mysteries of America's beginning, and of course on Riddles in Stone. And, of course, it's so interesting that that DVD on Riddles in Stone says exactly the same thing that Mr. Wasserman did when we interviewed him twice. And Mr. Wasserman's a member of the OTO, the organization that follows the dictates of Aleister Crowley. And if you don't know anything about Crowley, well, you need to get some of our material. You need to get the four-tape set on Satanic Crimes. That's on Satanic Crimes. And there's so much you can get. We'll be glad to send you a free catalog. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our website, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to us 9 hours a day and not get much of anything done. But we need to have you get the information out and get it to others while there's still time. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli patriot, who's lived in Israel for many, many years, and of course had fought in Israel's wars and had written extensively. He was a writer, a journalist, and articles and books about really the betrayal of the Jewish nation by their leaders, how they assassinated a Prime Minister Rabin, because Barry was getting very close to the devil's heartbeat, there were some unsuccessful attempts on his life, and he had to flee to the United States. But, of course, that's to our benefit, because we have a wonderful opportunity to talk to Barry now. And, of course, he's going to give us an update on what is really going on over in Israel today. Hi, Barry. How are we doing?
I'm fine. Unfortunately, for us tonight, there's a lot of news that I hadn't prepared, which I'll get to another time, but we gotta stick with what has been prepared, and that was the attack by Hamas 36 hours ago on an IDF armored personnel carrier. Now, this, of course, is totally against the ceasefire that was agreed to by Hamas, and you have to wonder what's going on. Now, what's going on is that George Mitchell, just as George Mitchell arrived in Israel, Hamas blew up an APV and killed one soldier. Another is very seriously wounded. Others were hurt. And Israel retaliated with a couple of airstrikes that really are so irrelevant considering what's been going on for all these past weeks. But the ceasefire is broken. Now, that's not what worries me. What worries me is that George Mitchell is back in the Middle East. He is very, very bad for Israel. But it's worse than that. The diplomacy of the last 8-9 years have been Mitchell's diplomacy. Now, just don't underestimate that Obama has been forced to take on Hillary Clinton and all her wacko advisors. There must have been incredible threats, but he caved in. George Mitchell of the Council on Foreign Relations, I'm going to mention this, it's very relevant, as a matter of fact. Nonetheless, he was the special Middle Eastern advisor to Bill Clinton, just as he is now the Middle East advisor to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. What you have is he wrote a report called the Mitchell Plan. It was in the year 2000 he began it. It was going to be the official diplomacy of the United States, but George Bush got into power and it got pushed aside. It became the secret diplomacy of the United States, where the PLO and Israel are equal, and Israel is deliberately targeting the fighters of the PLO. Really, really very bad stuff. It's not like Mitchell is being welcomed in Israel. He's not viewed well there. But what worries me is this Clinton team is back. And they're from the CFR, all of them.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shemesh. Well, Sydney, I share your concern about the Clinton team. I'm not sure that they'll be that much worse than the Bush team, because, of course, I don't believe any of them are friends of Israel, because they all come from the same little ruling elite. They just changed their names. But go right ahead, Barry.
Well, as we said, the Mitchell Plan was adopted by Bush, but quietly, because it was, after all, a Clinton plan. But you've got worse associates back on the Obama team. And what worries me is the documents thief of the CFR, Sandy Berger, has placed on Hillary's team his associate, Eric P. Schwartz. Now, again, I don't know these people personally. I know lots about Sandy Berger. He was the head of Peace Now during the 80s. He played a great role in mucking up what should have been Israel's complete victory in Lebanon. And, again, he's bad news, but the fact of the matter is Hillary Clinton doesn't abandon friends. And he's back on her team, which means that he and Eric P. Schwartz are intimate, in foreign policy with Obama. And what they're pushing is a pro-UN, a very serious agenda, where America and the UN become very closely tied to each other. And again, it's all, I wouldn't even care about all this stuff if it wasn't all tied up to Israel. And the fact that the ceasefire was broken because Mitchell was coming in the country, all these people have mucked up the Middle East, and no reaction to them is good, none of them.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly would not disagree with anything you're saying, and I think that I don't think that the peace is going to hold, because I do not think that Hamas wants peace. I think they want to do everything they can to force Israel to continue the attack so that then the media of the world can continue demonizing Israel.
Well, of course, I mean, the ceasefire is already over. Israel is too chicken to go in and actually win. That's not even allowed, and they won't free their soldier, Gilad Shalit. Should have been the first objective of this attack on Gaza, was to free their soldier. Of course, he's dead by now. I don't know this for a fact, but there's enough previous experience to know that they don't keep Jews alive very long if they fall into Arab hands. It would be returning his remains.
Hold that thought for just a moment here.
Right.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Barry Shemesh, and we're talking about what's going on over there in the Near East. And, of course, Hamas broke the truce, and then Israel responded and with some airstrikes, and now, of course, Israel's a bad guy because, of course, they were defending their military, their positions, and they were striking back when Hamas violated the ceasefire. But one of the most interesting things I was reading, Barry, just this evening, I was reading that Hamas now is going to start starts handing out fairly substantial amounts of money to the people who lost somebody, somebody in their family was killed. They're going to start handing out money to start rebuilding some of the homes over there, and depending on whether the home was simply damaged or whether it was destroyed. And they're talking about handing out $35 to $40 million, but nobody ever asks, where is Hamas getting $40 million? Who's putting up the money to finance Hamas? Who is providing the more increasingly sophisticated weapons? Who is providing the money to dig all the tunnels? You know, you do not maintain a revolutionary or terrorist organization with a lot of funding. And the question is, who's putting up the money for Hamas? And nobody ever wants to ask that question. We only talk about what Hamas does and, of course, how Israel responds. But well, nobody talks about who's funding them.
I mean, it's been announced. Saudi Arabia announced that they'd be giving $1 billion to rebuild Gaza. The United Nations has got $1.2 billion on the table somewhere. We know who's supplying Hamas.
Then why are we financing the people? Because the United States is keeping the Saudis in power. So why are we keeping the Saudis in power if they're backing Hamas? It doesn't make sense unless maybe everything else over there is just sort of a little game. We don't want to let the American people realize it's a game. And all these battles and wars that are fought are never fought to win. Sort of like Vietnam and Korea and the first Gulf War, but go right ahead.
Well, in the good old days, Israel actually won the 67 war. From 73 on, Israel's pretty well been restricted. Nonetheless, in Lebanon in 82, they set as a goal the removal of the PLO, and the IDF, taking terrible losses, really, did throw out the PLO. Nowadays, it could have been done in Lebanon, but you surround a neighborhood, you tell the people to get lost, go to a secure place, and any responsibility for damage would have been Hamas's. You could have defeated Hamas. Israel had the power. Hamas was weak. It could have been done. It wasn't done, so the next engagement has already been, the seeds have already been planted. And as we say, when Mitchell arrived, the first seed blossomed into a renewal of not the war, but a renewal of fighting and killing and so forth. Look, what worries me again with the issue of the kidnapped soldier Shalit, I read an article in Hebrew, actually. I don't know if you can get it in English. It's with IDF soldiers talking about their war. One thing bothered me a whole lot is that these soldiers, they were frontline soldiers, and they said the army, the government, not the army, the government didn't want another Shalit, they didn't want another kidnapped soldier. They couldn't live with the price that would be paid for if another soldier was kidnapped. And I read something, the soldiers all agreed with this, that they were given instructions that if you can't avoid kidnapping, if they've jumped you and it looks like it's all over and there's no getting away from it, you pull out a grenade and blow yourself up. This is the first time I can recall the IDF ever telling its soldiers to kill themselves. That's against all the rules of the Jewish army. You're not allowed to kill yourself under Judaism. And the IDF, these soldiers were talking about, you put the grenade on your chest and blow yourself up, and, but it wasn't for themselves and it wasn't for the IDF. It was a rule that came from the politicians. And the politicians ruled that, lo and behold, their soldiers can kill themselves rather than be kidnapped. Now, obviously, you don't want to be kidnapped by Hamas. You're going to have an awfully miserable time of it. Nonetheless, you still try and maintain your life with everything you've got. And there were a few incidents in Lebanon, anyways, where live soldiers were returned. So it's not totally hopeless. But they told them to go kill themselves. And I found that shocking, I mean, quite frankly.
Barry, we live in a world gone mad where concepts of right and wrong seem to be blurred, and certainly this is against the precepts of the Jewish religion. So why would the politicians recommend or order the soldiers to do that? Because the politicians don't believe in the Jewish faith. They do not believe, you know, in the teachings of the Torah.
Well, the cynicism, to the point where you tell a young man to destroy his family's hopes and by killing himself, that's pretty cynical. But Shmuel Mofaz, who I know all kinds of stuff about and I won't talk about, but he was a defense minister, he gave a political speech 3 days ago where he warned Hamas that they would be blockaded until Gilad Shalit was returned. Now, there was just a war. If that was so important, why didn't they try and return during the war? And again, to use his name for political purposes, to get elected, it's really sunk that low in Israel. And, you know, it's a strange thing that really everyone should be able to see that.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. It's certainly within the last month, you probably can tell this more accurately than I've got, but within the last month, they released 200, Arab terrorists. And, you know, would you have thought that they'd get something in return? No, they just wanted to show what good people they were. They wanted to return these terrorists so they could go back to being terrorists and kill more Jews. Why didn't they at least try to get this serviceman back, this Israeli, but they didn't. They just turned all the terrorists loose so that they could replenish the supply of terrorists. And nobody out there is pointing out this just doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know what's sort of interesting? Again, I just picked my way through the Israeli media and whatever reports are sent to me and a little past knowledge. Now, the officers of the IDF are, I wouldn't say terrified, but they're scared of getting on a plane for Europe to give a speech or to go on vacation or to visit family and being arrested. You can actually bring charges against a foreign national all through Europe. And so Olmert has promised that he would try and short-circuit this possibility. And, you know, that's fine and dandy. That's the world the way it is. But the head of the IDF law division, her name is Penina Sharvit Baruch, was going to quit the army and teach a course at Tel Aviv University's Department of Law, which seems all right, except two major professors. Well, major. They got tenure and they've got a name in that department. Nonetheless, they are objecting to her teaching treachery on their hallowed campus, and they're putting tremendous pressure for her to not teach and for the university to tear up her contract.
And basically, because the army is wrong, and so that anybody who comes from the army should not be allowed. I mean, after all, she probably is guilty for killing all those Arabs as anybody else is. And so anybody in the army who carries out their job and does what they're told is immediately then becomes a criminal. What sort of madness is that? Would we, certainly the American boys who fought in Vietnam, now older people, could we try them for murder? What about the people who fought in the first Gulf? For it. What about George Bush, who took us into the war in Iraq with faulty information and then did not have the courage to pull him out? Can he be arrested and tried by the world court?
Well, I mean, ideally, yes, if it's a legitimate court. These are local. The Europeans are just local lower courts. But again, the police accept court orders, and of course, court orders to arrest someone. They will put them in jail. And that's what the big worry is. And by the way, these are divisional commanders and so forth. They're not even the top of the Israeli, IDF command. But again, the real issue is that it's the Jews doing it as well. That's the real issue. Professor Sharvit Baruch, her crime was that she loosened up the legal department to allow, she didn't allow blind carpet bombing, but they loosened up the strictures, the legal strictures of the war before the war started, and this was reported in Haaretz, and that's when her job came up. Her very own fellow Jews who she was protecting, she thought, are turning on her, trying to get her fired. And any student who wants to take her class can just hit the hills because she'll be teaching treachery. And this is what happened at the University of Tel Aviv, and I thought it was of some interest. It should be mentioned also, all over the Internet there's a report. And this is a good report because it's not Israelis defending themselves for a change. There is a media outlet telling the truth about the war. Oh, I hear music.
You hear music? Well, we live in a world gone mad, Barry, and the only way you can understand it is that if you're looking at things logically, they just don't make sense. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Barry Shemesh right here at Radio Liberty. Barry, you go right ahead.
Yeah, the newspaper was an Italian paper.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My help-you-out-of-debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help-you-out-of-debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
A small, much smaller number of women and children. So certainly that the casualties were not as massive as we're told by the New York Times. But then, of course, whenever I read the New York Times, I always count the pages. I never actually even trust the page numbers in that publication. A wonderful publication. I read it regularly. But you have to learn to question everything you read in the New York Times and the Washington Post and in most of the media in America and most of the world media. Truth is a hard thing to find in days like this. Go right ahead, Barry.
They weren't in Gaza.
Right.
If you watch the news, Fox or CNN or CBS, it doesn't matter. They're all standing outside Gaza. The Corriere della Sera was inside Gaza, and it's got to be the most accurate reporting. They were actually in the midst of the war. Whereas New York Times, they just reprint rumors. Once again, they get the reports from Hamas, and they take them as accurate. And it turns out that they are not accurate. It's just a point I was making. We're looking for interesting points, and I would tend to believe from my own experience in war that a lot was terribly exaggerated.
All right, I'm sure you're right. Go ahead.
Now, something happened in the New York Times. Funny you should bring it up. What was it, 2 or 3 days ago, they had an op-ed by Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, right on the op-ed page of the New York Times. Now, just so you know, he didn't write it. He obviously didn't write it. But King Juan Carlos of Spain, and again, I've done this, and my books are filled with King Juan Carlos. Every time there's a major Middle Eastern diplomatic movement, you go to King Juan Carlos first. Nonetheless, he saw Gaddafi, lo and behold. And whether he or one of his ambassadors stuck this phony article in his face and said it's going in the New York Times, he didn't write it, and King Juan Carlos and his cronies did write it.
I think people have to understand that there is a what referred to as the black nobility of Europe. They're the royal houses there, they all interlock, and I believe that they are involved, and they work in concert. I believe they're involved in this satanic movement that we frequently talk about, and do never trust anything that comes out from the Queen of the Netherlands or from the Queen of England or from the King of Spain, Juan Carlos.
Yeah, I would worry more about Spain.
All right.
Spain has got their fingers in the pie. And this has been going on for a long time. Right back to the Madrid conference and the Barcelona conference, and we could go on and on. It's all been Spain. And of course they're representing the Vatican. That goes without saying. King Juan Carlos was raised in Rome. He was educated at a Jesuit college. He was reinstated by the Pope. All of this is very traceable history. But Arafat, oh, by the way, this article had Gaddafi saying that the Holocaust was undeniable and that the answer was to turn Israel into Israelstein, where the Israelis and Palestinians live in one, just one state, which, by the way, that's the Israeli point of view. Not having to remove settlers and creating one state is more Israeli than Palestinian. If you interpret this article, it was awfully darn liberal. And again, you have to understand a bit about Gaddafi. Now, and especially the Palestinians, there's an incident that somehow is forgotten, and it always stuck out of my mind. In the late 1980s, Yasser Arafat's plane went down. He crashed in Libya. And of all things, the Libyans granted the American Air Force the right to look for Arafat, which is insane, of course. This was Libya of 1987, but that's what Gaddafi did. Just so you know, Arafat somehow survived the crash. Don't even try and analyze that one. But he ended up in an American hospital where his brain was operated on, and he had extensive neurological treatment.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamish. Barry, pick up the story and run with it.
Well, in case you didn't know it, and a lot of people are, most people are thoroughly unaware of this, just before Arafat agreed, ultimately to Oslo, that was in 92, but nonetheless agreed to peace, Arafat became the moderate. The PLO became moderate, is the view of those who handled Arafat. Something was done to him. Gaddafi cooperated, and before Arafat became moderate, Americans had him in deep neurological treatment after rescuing him from a Libyan plane crash with the permission of Muammar Gaddafi. That's the story. Gaddafi is not all that he appears to be.
Nothing is appears to be. In fact, there seems to be always things going on behind the scenes that the American people are never allowed to understand. And just as, of course, President Reagan said, we would never negotiate for our return of hostages. We would never negotiate with terrorists. That's what they were doing behind the scenes. They were simply lying to the American people, saying one thing and doing exactly the opposite. And I think that many of these people, like Gaddafi, I really believe he would not be in power if we... I remember one story. There were a group of people who wanted to overthrow Gaddafi, and they made the mistake of telling the American authorities, and the next thing they knew, they were all up being tortured to death, and Gaddafi stayed in power. And you have to ask yourself, why would we possibly help anybody like that? Or the same thing with Saddam Hussein. That's told by in a book called See No Evil by Robert Baer, that how the CIA was actively, or at least the American State Department was actively, keeping Saddam in power when the military wanted to overthrow him. Nothing as it appears to be, Barry.
Well, in the case of Gaddafi, and it's too late. Too much public interest has been lost. But there was a bombing in a Berlin nightclub, and Reagan supposedly tried to kill Gaddafi. He sent a couple of jets. One was knocked out of the sky. It's an old story. Nonetheless, Gaddafi lost his daughter, his adopted daughter. That's the reports we've been getting, and barely survived himself from these plane attacks.
But where is it really true, or simply we getting propaganda? We're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. One thing you got to learn, never believe anything you read in a paper. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamish. Barry, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your books, how they can get copies of your DVDs, how they can get to your website, and how they can book you for a speech if they'd like to have you as a guest.
Well, the books, in this case, of course, we're talking Gaza, so Bye Bye Gaza should be something to go looking for. And it really is a good book. and you go to lulu.com, www.lulu.com, you'll find a little box that says search right in my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Chamish. And you'll get to buy the Gaza and other books, of course, but get the non-color version. The color version is too expensive, and the black and white version. There's a lot of photos in the, lots of photos inside this book. So get the black and white version to save some money. The website is www.barrychamish.com. And, yeah, if you actually have... are we there?
I am here.
Oh, yeah, I heard a beep.
I know. Well, that, they do that all the time. It's, they probably got tired of listening to our conversation and just signed off. Go ahead.
You mean we don't have an engineer anymore?
No, I was suggesting maybe the intelligence agencies
were
listening
to
our conversation. No, we have an engineer, and he's out there listening diligently.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that in the States like I was in Israel. I'm a lot freer here than I was in Israel. My phone was actually checked by a technician friend of mine, and he actually found, there's a way to test your phone, by the way, and I saw this. When someone is sucking or sharing the line, there's a meter that tells you if you're getting your full power. If you're not getting your full power, somebody's listening to you. And I lost about half my phone power. Just one of many stories of being bugged. But, here's my phone number if you want to invite me to lecture. 904-315-8079. 904-315-8079. And I can actually talk. I've got a story, a personal story, which pretty well lays out how secrecy works. Now, a very strange thing again, but not to me. Olmert is supposedly going to leave power in a couple of weeks, but he said that the Gaza operation has opened the doors to peace with Syria. And I'd like to know how it did that. He doesn't even explain these things. The Syrians were very impressed with the operation and they want to make peace. I mean, that's from that statement that he gave, which, again, makes no sense, that somehow Gaza opened up Syria. Now, I think it was the next day, a member of the ruling coalition, Meir Shitrit, offered to rent the Golan Heights from Syria. And then, I guess it was yesterday, or at most the day before yesterday, Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, announced that he will negotiate peace with Israel, including with Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, why would he make a statement like that? Now, Netanyahu is a snake thief in the worst sense of the matter, all tied up with the CFR. Nonetheless, Assad announces he will negotiate peace with Netanyahu. Now, let me tell you a good story. I work for a lot of trade magazines, some of them pretty big. Now, I used to read the business magazines of Israel looking for stories. And one day, I'm reading Globes in the real estate section, and I find an amazing article about a real estate deal that was made in the late 19th century where the Rothschild Trust, I believe of France, I think it was the French Rothschild branch, nonetheless, they bought 20,000 acres of land in the Golan and parts of Syria known in the Bible as Bashar. Wherever that is, the 20,000 acres were bought legally from the Turks. And the Rothschilds handed them to the Jewish National Fund. It's really the real estate holding company of the Israeli government. And I look at this claim, 20,000 acres in Israel is a pretty big farm. It's big enough that we have negotiating power with Syrians. We don't have to buy or rent the Golan. We own the Golan, or at least parts of it. So at the time, I was working, and I was good at this. I used to write for water magazines. I used to write about dams and diversions and drainages, all kinds of stuff, for major, major water magazines in England and the States. So I had used the JNF, and I knew their PR person very well, and they respected me. I gave them good articles. I don't know if they liked me, but they certainly phoned all the time and asked if there was any new news about new articles. So I phoned her up, and I said, I'd like to know. I quoted the Globe's piece, and I said, I'd like to see the actual treaty. I'd like to photocopy it. And I said, this could actually have a major effect on diplomacy.
Now, basically, this was not a treaty. This was just a deed to the land, wasn't
yeah.
it? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I said, I want to see the deed. No, it wasn't a treaty. It was a land sale. So, but, you know, a very, very vitally strategic land sale, whether they knew it when they bought this land or not. By the way, they couldn't have. So anyways, I asked her if I could photocopy the deed and do a story on this. So she phones me back and says, our spokesman will speak to you about this. And, you know, spokesman for the JNF, a worldwide multi-hundreds of millions of dollar annual expenses organization. That's pretty good. So I go down there, and I go to the spokesman's office, which, by the way, was a lot smaller than the reputation of the JNF. It was a dinky little office, but nonetheless, I'm with the spokesman of the JNF. I got in to talk about the treaty. And he says to me, I said, can I photocopy it? Can you tell me more? He says to me, I'm going to tell you something, and you're not to repeat it. Now, I'm repeating it now probably 12, 15 years after it happened. It happened in the year 1993, 94. So I assume he's on pension now, and he's not going to get fired because of this. Well, he said to me outright, he said, we just cannot talk about this agreement. The government has sequestered the deed. There's nothing to photocopy. This wasn't our idea. They told us never to talk about it with anybody. He said, I can't do the story with you. It's forbidden. Just so you know, this was a government decision not to screw up at the negotiations with the Syrians by actually telling the truth that the JNF owned land on the Golan Heights and had a very strong bargaining position. He said, no, you can't write that. And it's not my fault. I'd do it if I could, but I can't. So there's a little personal knowledge for you. Also in current of in the current sense, you're never going to hear about this deed. Israel's going to negotiate with the Syrians, let's say, and they're not going to mention that they own 20,000 acres on the Golan, and they're starting with nothing, at least from the Arab point of view. And all of it is a big, giant secret by the Israeli government, which I uncovered many years ago, and I wrote about it. And it got a little bit of acknowledgement when I wrote about it, and it's been long forgotten. Unfortunately for the bad guys, I never forget stuff. I'm reminded of stuff that happened, and I was reminded that once again they're going to be negotiating with Syria, and once again Israel has got not the pat card, but certainly a decent hand if it would use it. And it's not going to use it.
And you have to ask yourself, why won't it do its logical? I mean, if it has a claim to the land, not conquered by war at all, but certainly by by actually holding the deed on the land. And, the, of course, the Golan Heights is a major point of contention between Syria and Israel. And Israel actually owns the land outright going back, you know, really probably deeds dated many, many years ago, long before the even the advent of the State of Israel. So nothing as it appears to be.
Well, again, I get my acknowledgement, and I've learned to accept it, just accept it. But this week I had a good acknowledgement from the people who are trying to get Jonathan Pollard freed, and rightfully. He should be sitting in prison 5 years, not life. But without diving into that, I get a little letter. Well, remember something. Bush left office, and he pardoned a whole lot of people. The most noteworthy, I suppose, were the two guards on the border with Mexico, the immigration guards who were pardoned. They should never have been in prison. They don't deserve a pardon. They should have been forgiven. But neither here nor there. But Pollard was not pardoned, and there was a massive campaign to get Bush to pardon him. Now, while this campaign is going on, I write to people, I just say, you expect, you know that Pollard's data was used by then Prime Minister Peres to start something called Iran-Contra. And you know that the Bush dynasty almost fell for good because of Pollard and, of course, Peres. And I said, you don't really think that Bush is going to pardon the spy who almost destroyed his family dynasty. And I sent it around, but it doesn't matter. I uncovered this connection between Pollard and Iran-Contra, I believe it was 6-7 years ago. So I get a letter from two hotshots. Well, I can name Pesach Lerner. It doesn't matter. You don't know these names. I say them, they're gone in 1 second. But they're hot shots in the Free Pollard movement, and I guess they send it around to other people. And it starts off, maybe Chalmers was right. They were so disappointed that Bush didn't pardon Pollard. They made these claims that the White House took on an extra 30 phones because of all the people phoning the president to pardon Pollard. I don't believe that, by the way. But neither here nor there, when Bush passed through history without pardoning Pollard, they went into depression and spread the word that maybe I was right and maybe it was Pollard who, not knowingly, it was Peres who knowingly turned a small arms for hostage deal into Iran-Contra. And by the way, one of these days I can do a whole hour if you want to talk about Pollard. I have lots of information on that one.
Well, let's plan on that maybe in the next week or so, okay?
Sure.
Okay, fine. I think it's a fascinating subject, especially the tie-in to Iran-Contra and certainly to you know, people, key people in the I think Caspar Weinberger was one of the
Weinberger,
key people.
Weinberger,
right?
Well, James Baker.
And how about
Schultz,
George Bush?
The Bush family, the whole, all of the reason Pollard is sitting in prison. First of all, he's now waking up. Now here's another point, and I guess he's got nothing to lose, but it shows that after all these years, my thesis is now becoming mainstream in certain circles. The World Net Daily sent a reporter to interview Pollard, and Pollard, lo and behold, started spouting out, "I'm here because of Iran-Contra." The whole interview on World Net Daily was only like 5-6. Well, no, it was the week before last. Neither here nor there, Pollard has woken up that he's sitting in prison because of Iran-Contra. It only took him 23 years to realize that that my thesis, not theory, I did a lot of research on this one. I was paid to by people who wanted Pollard out of prison. They paid me money to find out why he's sitting there in the first place. And I went looking, and I had lots of help on this. I had a friend and a partner named Joel Bainerman who wrote a book called Crimes of a President, which was just filled with Iran-Contra. He gave me his notes. He gave me people to interview, the works. I did a good job on this. I said straight out, Pollard is sitting in prison because he was abused by Shimon Peres, who almost destroyed the careers. Weinberger was pardoned by Bush, or else he would have sat in prison. He would have died in prison, Weinberger. What you have is a Jonathan Pollard waking up to my research efforts. After all these years, the Pollard people finally realized that I was right about this. And I shouldn't be just patting myself on the back because I get almost no recognition.
We'll give you the recognition. You were sure right as far as the drying up of the Sea of Galilee, and obviously you were right on Pollard.
Oh, we want to talk about the black line being reached in January,
right.
Do we?
And, you know, we've been to Israel many times, and the Sea of Galilee is a beautiful lake, only it's no longer a beautiful lake, is it?
Well, you can walk across it in places.
Right, and because this is because of the pumping policies, the policies of Israel to pump the water over to Jordan. But now, of course, I think Jordan's going to suffer and Israel's going to suffer, and the country is dependent upon water. You can't have a country without water. What's going to happen now? So, well, we can talk about that sometime real soon as well. But Barry told us at least, 9 months ago, maybe a year ago, that the Sea of Galilee was going to dry up probably this year, and you're not hearing about it, but it's really drying up.
No, they reached the black line. I sent you that article. In the middle of January, when the, which is the rainy season in Israel, only 10% of the seasonable rain fell in January. 10%! That's a drought. And the sea fell to within 40 centimeters of the black line. At that point, the pumps are out of the water, and you can't pump anymore. And you wouldn't want to, first of all, because the lake will turn so salty, it'll be dead for forever. But the fact of the matter is, the black line has been reached during the rainy season, and I hear the music. It always
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. I guess it's been Barry Sammis, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, Barry, you got three.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
In his life. Well, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there, if you're in a position to help us, will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our news letters or certainly get some of the things we offer. Certainly, we finally got in that new DVD entitled The Eye of the Phoenix. It's 2 hours and 50 minutes put together very professionally by Chris Pinto, and of course it goes into the background of the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill. And you must understand that the people within the Brotherhood of Darkness, who are the descendants of the ancient mystery religions and secret societies, actually hide their emblems in plain sight. And then they laugh at us because we're so stupid, we can't see them. Or they let Henry Kissinger write these articles where he lays everything out, but he puts it in such vague and confusing terms that unless you know what he's saying that either we go into their new world order and give up our freedom and our sovereignty and join this new economic order, this new world order, and of course, that we will be destroyed. And he's saying that to all the nations of the world. What he wants is a common heritage for the whole world. You need to get the article. It's the 12th of January, 2009, of the International Herald Tribune. Henry Kissinger, International Herald Tribune, the 12th of January. And you need to get the article and read it. Understanding is written intentionally to confuse you. But if you read it carefully, you'll find out that what a wonderful thing it is. The world economy is collapsing. We are on the verge of fragmentation. We're on the edge of chaos. And the only solution is to go along with the age-old plan of establishing the new world order. Once you understand that, you can understand what he's writing about, and understand they always write in these esoteric terms, just like they hide their emblems in plain sight. You can't understand what they write, you can't see their emblems, but they're there. And that's why the DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix, is so important. That's The Eye of the Phoenix, and I do play a small part in it. But they've got some wonderful, wonderful interviews there. We recommend it to you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know how they killed Martin Luther King, you need to get our four CD set on the execution of Martin Luther King. And there's a book that goes with that called An Act of State. The government wanted to kill him. And then, of course, you need to get our material on the sinking of the Liberty, where they sent an American intelligence gathering ship off the coast of the Sinai during the 67 war. And the idea was they were going to kill everybody on board that ship. They were going to kill all those Americans. And who was going to kill them? Well, it was going to be the Israelis, but they were working in concert with the President of the United States and Robert McNamara. And there were certain people within the military that went right along with it. Now, there were others in the military who have never, of course, forgiven and never forgotten, and you should never forget. But there's nothing like what we have, the four-tape set on the Liberty, a DVD on the Liberty, a video on the Liberty, a syllabus. You can get them all together in the Liberty Special and show it to your friends and help them understand that we're dealing with organized evil because we have an invisible government. And you want to get my November and December newsletters, if you get something from us, request them. Otherwise, of course, you can read them on my website at radioliberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, where you go into how they have intentionally created this economic crisis that's going to destroy the value of our currency and rob you of your life savings. And this is exactly what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to understand we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.